disrespect that. And that we would thank you and be grateful and praise you because of what you've done. And Lord, that we might hear what you have for us this morning. And we ask now for your blessings on this time of the service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a creation moment. It's in your bulletin. And I thought this was very interesting. But first of all, the question that is posed is, if you haven't read ahead, do men have one less rib because God took that rib for, to make Eve? And a lot of people would say yes. In fact, I was one that would say yes too. This is a female rib cage. And the next slide is the male rib cage. They have the same amount of ribs. And here's the reason why. The researchers found, as they have been studying the human anatomy, that the rib bone is the only bone in the human body that will reproduce itself, that will regenerate. The only bone in the body. So when God took the rib out of man and made Eve, Adam's rib grew back. They found that they can do that, and as you read the article, that they can also take, as long as they don't ruin or mess up the perichondrium, it's the sheath around the bone. And when they take the bone out without messing that up, the bone will regenerate. It's the only bone in the body that does that. It's an amazing creation moment, I think, because God created humankind, mankind. He created Adam specifically for that. And now we see the results still in our body today that we will regenerate that rib. Amazing. When the Bible says in Psalm that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that's not an exaggeration. And God has created us with some magnificent things. So I thought I'd bring that to your attention. You can read the article for yourself. The next thing, we've talked a lot about doctrines and foundational doctrines in the church here. I have avoided one. And I just, it's always looked at a little negatively and maybe a little annoying by some churches, some people. We looked at salvation, security, looked at Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit, the body, worship, faith, but I just really hesitated, always wanted to push that aside to talk about giving. And yet, what's happened is I've found that there's a lot of misunderstanding about giving. This is probably going to take maybe two or three sermons. So it's going to be, you're going to have to come back next week to hear the total package. You're going to have to come back until we're done with it. But, I never wanted to be one of those preachers, that preach about giving all the time. And I don't believe that's something that we need to do, is preach about it all the time. But somebody challenged me with that and said that, I've preached about a lot of doctrines, but I've avoided this. And there's a lot of people who don't understand what it's all about. In fact, I heard someone came to me a few years back and asked me this one question. They said, well, in the church that I went to, they said if you didn't give, you were going to go to hell. And I thought, wow. That's pretty extreme for not giving. If you didn't tithe, you're going to hell. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to talk about, the things that people are misunderstanding too, that, you give to get. Well, God's going to bless me, so I'm going to give so I get blessed. That's not quite the reason why you want to give. There's other people that they think that it's the tithe, 10%, that's it, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. I also had someone come to me one time, and they said, you know, we haven't been coming to church. And I said, yeah. And they said, because, you know, I lost my job, and I don't make a lot right now. I'm really looking for a job, and I can't tithe, so we're not coming. And I said, ah, that's kind of a wrong reason not to come to church, too. So, you know, we're gonna delve into these things, and what we want to do is I'm going to take some time to explain, you know, giving, tithing 10%, and you know, all those kinds of things, and you know, like I said, it's going to take a few Sundays. One thing I do want to dispel right now is that you will not go to hell if you don't tithe. Okay, that's nowhere in the Bible. I have not found it yet. I don't know, it's probably in 2 Thessalonians or something like that. But I'm not sure. So, it's just not there. You know, now, is it a problem before God? Yeah. You know, God wants us to give. He wants us to tithe. But, again, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to share some things that I think will encourage you and also, you know, help you understand some things. So the first thing we want to touch on is the beginning of it all. Where did the tenth come in? Where did this, you know, I'm going to give a tenth come in? So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 14. And this is the first time in Genesis 14 that a tenth is mentioned. And page number 19, if you're looking for Genesis 14. So Genesis 14, starting in verse 18. Now, Abram had just helped Lot free himself, you know, free him from his enemies. They took him captive, and Abram had gone out and he'd routed the enemy and all that. And in verse 18, Melchizedek, and we're not going to get into him too much, but he's mentioned in other parts of the scripture. This is the only basic time he's mentioned here, and he's a priest for God. And now he's not an Israelite necessarily. He's, you know, just this guy that shows up, and is very mysterious if you do any study on him. But Melchizedek, king of Salem, he brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed Abram and he said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Boom. That's where it's first mentioned. A tenth. So Abram decides to give a tenth to Melchizedek as an offering, a thank offering for God helping him in this endeavor. Second verse that comes up with this tenth is in Genesis 28. Genesis 28, and in this particular scripture, Jacob, he has a dream, and he wakes up from this dream that God is with him. And in verses 20 through 22, it says, Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Again, you know, a promise to God, a vow to God that if he supplies the needs of Jacob and keeps him safe, that Jacob is going to take a tenth of everything that he has and give it to God. So throughout the Old Testament, there's references to the tenth, and it's offered to the Lord. But then comes along the Israel nation. And this Israel nation, there's a tribe that Aaron belongs to. Aaron, he becomes like the priest before the people. Moses is, you know, he's like the leader of the tribe of Israel. And Aaron, he's kind of the helper of Moses. And he becomes this priest. And he's handling the things in the tabernacle and the offerings and all those kinds of things. And his tribe is the Levite tribe. He comes from the tribe of Levi. And this, God sets up the Levi tribe, the Levites, as the priestly tribe. Now I want us to go to 186 in the Pew Bible, Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1, page 186, starting at verse 47. Numbers 1:47. It says, "The families of the tribe of Levi, however, were not to be counted along with the others. The Lord had said to Moses, 'You must not count the tribe of Levi or include them in the census of the other Israelites. Instead, appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings and everything belonging to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They are to take care of it and encamp around it. Whenever the tabernacle is to move, the Levites are to take it down. And whenever the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall do it. Anyone who goes near it shall be put to death." And, you know, on. So the Levites become in charge of the tabernacle. They become the priestly tribe. Numbers chapter 18. If you go to Numbers chapter 18. And starting in verse 21. Again. you know, God is making the rules for the Levite tribe. Verse 21 says, "I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance, in return for the work they do while serving the tent of meeting. From now on, the Israelites must not go near the tent of meeting, or they will bear the consequences for their sin and will die. It is the Levites who are to do the work at the tent of meeting and bear the responsibility for offenses against it. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come," etc. Again, "they will receive no inheritance among the Israelites. Instead, I give the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord." That is why I said concerning them, present as an offering to the Lord, or they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. So, in other words, the only thing the Levite tribe will get is the tithes that come from the tribe of, from the 11 tribes of Israel. They will not get an inheritance. They're responsible for the tabernacle and all the religious articles, you know, all the things that were consecrated. Now, in Deuteronomy 12:19, I have a slide for that. I don't want you to turn to these. There's three more that I want to share. 12:19, it says, "Be careful not to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land." This is important to understand because God told the people of Israel that the Levites are dependent on you. They're dependent on your tithes. All the tithes, the tenth, that would come from the Israelites to the Lord went to the Levites. And that's what supported the Levites. And there's a lot of Levites. All right? There's a whole tribe. There's a lot of people. They're the priestly tribe. In Deuteronomy 21:5, the next slide, "The priest of the son of Levi shall step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister and pronounce blessings in the name of the Lord and decide all cases and disputes and assault." So they handled all the spiritual things that were going on in the tribes of Israel. The Levites would be the judges and would be the spiritual pulse beat of Israel. Now, 26:12 in Deuteronomy, next slide, says, "When you have finished setting aside the tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levites, the alien, the fatherless, the widow, so they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. In other words, not only was the tithe of Israel given to the Levites, but also all those who could not support themselves. This was what God instituted for the people of Israel to take care of one another. Now, the Levite tribe was an important tribe. They were the spiritual leaders of the tribe of Israel. This was a nation, and it was supposed to be an example to the rest of the nations. Now, the United States, I'll use as an illustration as well. We founded, our founding fathers, when they came to the United States, they developed this nation as also to be spiritually minded. They set the foundations of the Constitution and other things on Scripture, on the Bible, on the principles of God. And this country was never supposed to eliminate or push God in the corner. If God was supposed to be always involved in every part of the government and this nation, just as God was supposed to be involved in every part of the Israel nation. You know, because to remove the spiritual part of it is to collapse as a moral station, a moral example to the rest of the nations. Israel was supposed to be that example, and God instituted them to have a spiritual part of their nation, that they would always be guided by God. When they pushed that away, that's when they had problems, and we're going to look at that in just a little bit. But the 11 tribes were supposed to support. It wasn't a big burden, 10%. You know, but the Levites, they didn't have the normal job, they didn't have land, they didn't have any kind of inheritance. They were dependent on the Israel nation. So that's why in Malachi, once you go there, it's just before the New Testament, 1461, in the Pew Bibles, 1461, Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And if you look at chapter 3, and starting in verse 8, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food for in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So what we see here is that, yeah, in this particular case, this is, again, concerning Israel. It's not concerning us as the church, as the Christian. Now, we can use the tenth or the tithe as a guideline, but, you know, next week I'm going to share about the New Testament, the principles of giving from the New Testament standpoint. It's different. It's different for the church. This is for the Israelites. The Israelites are being told, you're robbing me. And how are they robbing him? Because they're not giving the tithe to the Levites. Remember, he said, don't neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. And so God says you're going to be under a curse. Why is it under a curse? Well, it's the same thing if I were to take some money and give it to you for a bill. Not me. If I gave it to you for, like, say, your phone bill or your electric bill, and I said, here, this is for your electric bill, but you use it for beer or whiskey or some other weird thing. You use it for something that you really want. And I find out about it. Am I going to give you any more money? No. Because you abused what you already got. So God here, he's blessing the land. He's blessing Israel with you know, good crops and no pests and the fruits not dropping off the vines, blessing him with those things, as long as they don't neglect the Levites, as long as they don't neglect the tithe that they're supposed to give. But when they neglect that, when they abuse the money that God has given them, the blessing he's given them, then he just pulls it back. So I'm not going to give it to you anymore. And then they find out, oh man, now how are we going to make it? But if you do give it, according to the scriptures, if the Israelites gave it, God was going to bless their crops. And he was going to bless them to where they would have no need at all. They would be completely satisfied. Now, yes, some of those principles will apply to us in the New Testament. And we'll get to that next week. I don't have time for it today, but we have to understand the difference between the Israelites and us as the church. We do have specific rules and guidelines in the way of giving for the church, but this is the Old Testament and the people of Israel. They were giving for a different reason. They're giving to the people of the Levite tribe. They want to support them and keep them supplied. Now, you know, again, you know, God has set these principles in place. And when you go against his principles, then there are consequences. And it's not because God is throwing you under the bus. He's already told you, this is what I desire. This is what I'm calling you to do. And Israel had very simple things. You know, they had, of course, the Ten Commandments, but they had other things that they were supposed to follow. All they had to do was follow God, keep him in the forefront, follow his principles, and he would bless them. But, you know, they didn't always do it. And we don't always do it either. But did he completely wipe out the nation of Israel because of tithes? No, there was a lot more to it than that. They neglected him. They threw him off to the side and they didn't follow him anymore. They were worshiping idols and other things. And that's when God stepped in and disciplined them with other nations and things. But the blessing of the tithe is the blessings of supplying. And when they tithe and when they gave to the people of the Levite tribe, they never had a need. They were, all their needs were supplied. So if you could say, you give to get, but that's not your intent. The intent of the people were to supply the needs of the Levites, not so we could get a blessing. You know, let's give more so we get more blessing. No, that wasn't the point. God only expected 10% in this particular instance. So next week I'll get into the New Testament teaching on giving. So you're going to have to come back if you want to catch that second part of that. And there may be a third part to it too. I'm not sure. You know, there's a lot to this in giving. But I want you to be instructed and aware of these things because, you know, God put those things in Scripture for us to guide us. So it's all right. We have a last song here, and that's page 79. Well, it's going to be on the screen, I guess. To God be the glory.